Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Friday. Welcome to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Danny frightened me. I was on the phone. I turn around, look out in the studio. There's Danny all bundled up like it's 4 degrees outside or something like that. Had his hood up. Was just chilling out. So, Danny Burke is in. Chris Schmidt, great to be with you. You can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Final chances for some teams to make their case. Some news and notes from Andy Katz as he's doing work with the NCAA. And we'll start there. We'll talk some spring football 1 week from today. Spring ball gets rolling for Nebraska. A quick one practice before spring break happens. And then they get back and get ready to go to work. We'll spend some time on state basketball. Jacob Padilla is covering it with Hail Varsity. And Jacob's been down at PBA. I had a game this morning at 9. Tip of the cap to Lincoln Christian. Great effort against Wahoo. They didn't find a way to win. Wahoo's into the state title game. That's not new or different for the folks in Wahoo, but Christian gave a great performance. So we'll talk some high school hoops. Great weekend of ball down at PBA, and Jacob Padilla with us in 15 minutes. We'll spend some time on some guys on the Nebraska football team that have spoken out a bit, and they'll give it a little bit more look-see into what was really going on during the Riley era. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity next hour. And then how about our main man in the NFL, Ralph Brown? We'll get Ralph's thoughts on the Legion of Boom's dissolvement. We'll get Ralph's thoughts on the news and notes in the NFL. And we'll get his take here on some spring football as well. Friday forecast is ready. Danny, are you ready and willing and able to go forward with a bracket edition slash version, a March rendition of the Friday forecast? Are you ready?
Yeah, we got a few games going tonight. We should be able to.
Are you
going to
go overload on me, or are you keeping it at 6?
I'm keeping it at 6. I got about, I think, around 5 right now. Okay. Might throw an NBA game in there just for fun and games, but
right,
we'll see.
Because last week's record, I think I was 1-4. The previous week's record, I think I was a sparkling 5-0.
Yeah, so we've gone back and forth. So
this is the true rubber
weekend
match. It's like Cardinals and Cubs here.
That's right.
Nobody's going to win. Okay, let's talk tournament here for a minute, Danny. And Brandon Vogel had a good write-up here when it comes to the bubble as it's growing and it could be shrinking. Who do you think Nebraska's main competition is? Let's start there. Let's just start right there with Nebraska basketball. And it's kind of changed as the week has gone on. Nebraska's kind of been on their own island, aren't they? I mean, if you think about it, their situation, the Big Ten closing shop a week early, and the Big Ten's not had a chance for a week to hurt themselves and really not help themselves. You've had more coaches and media members discuss, and former coaches say, look, conference tournament, postseason is their own thing. That's just a chance to make a run and get the automatic qualification. The grading should stop. It should cease at the end of the regular season. That way you don't have a bad memory. But I don't know about you, but I absolutely take into consideration how teams look and play, and can they kind of flip the switch and turn it on when it comes to conference tournament time. That's one of the reasons I was so down Monday on Nebraska getting into the tournament, because of that lasting image, that last mind's eye snapshot. As you move further, though, you've had some teams really step on themselves. You've had other teams kind of change the narrative, the what have you done for me lately look. And other teams are just kind of floating. And the best way to put it for Nebraska basketball, it's been basketball purgatory this week. Where are you going? I'll let you make your own conclusion on what we think of the NIT, what realm that is. And you know what the NCAA tournament is, to get religious here for a second. Listen, the way Andy Katz describes it, as Katz is working as a correspondent with the NCAA, I would put two and two together that while there's no quote from Bruce Rasmussen, there's no quote from members of the committee, that there is some shared information since you're with the same entity. And Katz is a smart enough guy. He's covered basketball since 92. He's plugged in. He's locked in. He gets information. So this is where you sit on Friday, March 9th, waiting for Selection Sunday as a Nebraska basketball fan. Bruce Rasmussen said Wednesday, the committee has voted 28 teams into the at-large pool. Imagine Entourage, back when it was awesome. Vince and Ari are hanging out, and 28 beauties roll in. That's what's at the pool party right now. Now, how many of Turtles' friends get in? I don't know. How many of Johnny Drama's pals crash the party? Is there an instance where someone lets the animals out of Hef's place and you're banned from the mansion? I don't know that the field right now, I don't know if there's, and if that went over people's heads about Entourage, I apologize. I don't know that there's anyone right now that is so grotesque that they're not under consideration. But you got to narrow it down. And that's what the committee has done. 28 teams are in the pool party. There's 36 spots. 8 left. So here is what you have. Here's where the field stands according to Andy Katz. Nebraska, done playing but still in contention. That's so good to hear as a Nebraska basketball fan, because you hear from the rest of the bracketologists, not close, no way, gonna be tough. You hear all of that, but you hear from Katz that, okay, here's your categories. Done playing and in contention, Nebraska, first up, 13 games, but one win in a top five setting. Or one win against a top five team in conference. Penn State, they have three aces. That's three straight wins or three wins against Ohio State. St. Mary's, the term shaky is applied to St. Mary's because of, like Nebraska, the Q1, and they didn't make it to the West Coast Conference Final. Now, if you win it at Gonzaga, doesn't that count as like 7 wins? Important wins. No one wins at Gonzaga. Oklahoma is on this list. Done playing, but still in contention. OU, that slide well documented. Dean Blevins went incinerator on this Oklahoma basketball team last night in Trae Young. It was beautiful. They're non-conference wins, though, by Oklahoma. My God, they're impressive. They're flat out as good as there are in the country. Arizona State, same as Oklahoma. Syracuse, some quality road wins. That's where you're at. Done playing, but still in contention. Penn State, St. Mary's, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Syracuse, Arizona State. These three teams that got ousted this week in the ACC are in and should be okay. Virginia Tech, Florida State, NC State. I believe that. They all have pretty impressive wins in conference. Washington is out. They're eliminated, okay? So who is Nebraska in contention with right now? We've laid out who, but who do you think Nebraska's biggest competition right now? Push comes to shove. Sunday's coming near. 28 spots are reserved. There's 8 open spots at the bar here. Does Nebraska get the nod over Oklahoma? Take your red hat off for a minute. Does Nebraska deserve to be in over Oklahoma? I can't say yes. I can't say yes. I can say yes if we're going the last 10 games. I can say if we're going the last 15 games. But when it comes to quality wins that, as a devout Nebraska fan, you would begrudgingly give respect to, Oklahoma has some impressive, amazing, flat-out great wins. So it comes down to this true question. What do you as a Nebraska fan value more? A win or a loss? You value a win, of course. But what is lasting to you? What's more going to make the argument and the case for you? Is it the impressive win that you, okay, that's what I'm holding on to with both hands, or are you hung up more on the loss? And that's really kind of what it comes down to when we're talking about these teams. Penn State, St. Mary's, Oklahoma, Syracuse, Arizona State, Nebraska. I mean, the thing that's been in Nebraska's favor is the no bad losses, right? Right? I mean, Illinois, yes. But, wow, they beat Michigan. Oklahoma, incredible. For the first half of the season, then Trae Young shot 39 times and his teammates hated him. Arizona State, incredible non-conference. Phenomenal. Then they started getting swept by Stanford. I know Stanford's 18 and 14, but you get my point. I mean, Arizona State's in trouble. Syracuse, man, I couldn't find a wow win by Syracuse. I know the air quote road schedule's nice. Maybe Syracuse knocked off Clemson. I'll have to research that. I have a list here, okay? And then there's some teams like Oklahoma State and Notre Dame. Here's where I kind of classify Nebraska. I classify Nebraska with some teams that have some good wins, like one or two, okay? Nebraska's in the classification with Penn State. Nebraska's in the classification with Notre Dame. Nebraska's in the classification with Syracuse. That's the group I put Nebraska in. And if you've got eight spots left, how many are you going to take? They're going to take Oklahoma, despite their 18 and 13 record, because they've swept TCU, who's in. Their losses aren't outrageous. Some have been, like they split with Kansas, and that was a 30-point punch to the face. They've also beaten Texas Tech. They've also been swept by West Virginia. They have lost at Alabama. They've beaten USC. They've beaten Oregon. They've won at Wichita State. So, I mean, I can just boom, 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 boom there. Oklahoma State is in contention. Not by cats, but by many. They're 2-1 against Kansas, 2-1 against OU, 1-1 against Texas Tech. I mean, Oklahoma State makes a great case. Their non-conference is embarrassing. Notre Dame beat Wichita State, beat Florida State. Alabama is, God, there's some Roll Tide fever going on, Danny. Because they're 18 and 14, now 19 and 14. They just rocked Auburn. They have beaten A&M. They have beaten Rhode Island. They have beaten Oklahoma. They have beaten Tennessee. They have beaten Auburn. So I think it's going to be between Nebraska, Bama, and Syracuse. I think two of those three names get in on Sunday. And I think it's going to be a real situation here where it's between Oklahoma and Arizona State. They won't take both. They'll take one. And it'll be Oklahoma. Bobby Hurley and Arizona State get to watch. So does Nebraska sneak in against Syracuse's resume? Against Bama's resume? And part of that puff up is winning in conference, and we go back to the 13-5 number versus the below 500 number of Alabama or the around 500 number of Syracuse. We'll talk some spring football coming up, but wanted to lay it out there. Nebraska in contention. That's the good news. And it comes down to who are you going to edge out? Well, Nebraska edge out UCLA. Very similar, except for the brand and name. UCLA doesn't really have more than one marquee win. Nebraska's going to have Minnesota counted as a marquee win when they beat them at home at PBA. Nebraska's going to have the 20-point win over Michigan. You know all this, but that's what the committee's doing. And you have eight spots left. Does Nebraska sneak into one of those? And right now, I have a hard time seeing Nebraska beat out Alabama. I have a hard time seeing Nebraska beat out UCLA. I have a hard time seeing Nebraska beat out Syracuse. It's not because they're not better than Syracuse, or it's not that they're not better than Alabama. It's just some quality wins. Seth Greenberg, halftime of game one of the ACC tournament game, the semis. Reese Davis has given it to him. Dude, what they're talking Oklahoma. And Seth Greenberg's like, all right, what about Nebraska? What about Nebraska? They talk a little bit about it. Seth's like, okay, man, Nebraska better than Oklahoma. I think Nebraska beat Oklahoma. Dean Blevins said that yesterday. Absolutely. But does Nebraska find their way in this musical chairs to get a seat with the final eight seats? Of these 36 at-large bids. Good layout by Andy Katz. Good stuff from Brandon Vogel. High school hoops, man. What a Thursday to start out Boys State 2018. Jacob Padilla will get caught up with us. We'll hit some spring ball coming up also this hour as Nebraska gets ready. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Ton of fun with the state tournament going on at PBA. And we bring in Mr. Basketball. That's what I'm going to call him. The nickname's going to stick. Jacob Padilla of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob_Padilla. Jacob, it was awesome to see you this morning, man. Great time of year. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's one of my favorite times of year, just spending all week down in Lincoln and checking out a ton of high school basketball.
Yeah, and it's been an incredible tournament into day two today. And my oh my, how about Thursday night? Pius, Creighton Prep had a chance to call the East game. We'll get to East Bryan in a minute, but triple overtime. You've seen a lot of Prep. I know Pius pretty well. And what a classic. Is that about as good a game as you can remember in the state tournament?
Yeah, especially, I mean, the awesome thing about Thursday is just how the games kind of built off of each other. You had three separate overtime games, I believe, just at Pinnacle Bank Arena alone. You had a single, a double, and a triple overtime game. So it felt like pretty much after every game, you're like, oh, well, there's the game of the tournament. And then went out and kind of topped it with a later game. So, yeah, it was an awesome day overall. And that Pius Prep just – Pius got on an unbelievable offensive run to end the season there. I mean, they put up 91 on Millard South in the district final. They didn't miss a single shot in their first quarter, put up 85 against Omaha South in the district before that, and then 80 in triple overtime against Prep. And Prep, we know, likes to run and gun, and they'll run with you too. So it was a perfect setting for that kind of game to happen, and that's exactly what we got.
You know, and I know you see a lot of Metro basketball in Omaha. I've covered a lot of Lincoln basketball in my years. And, you know, for a long, long time, it's been the Metro, and it'll be a Metro final again. But the Lincoln teams, in my opinion, I want your take on this. I think they've done a really good job of not only, and I look at East and Pius as a couple of examples this year, that have competed and beat some Metro teams, but that gap, I think, is narrowing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. And even look at teams, so Pius, Lincoln High, and
Lincoln High,
North Star, I think, all three of those teams, I think, were better than probably expected this year. East was supposed to be good. They brought almost everybody back. You had a D1 player and Sam Grice, so you got a D2 player and Jordan Jansen, so they were right where they should have been. But those other teams, I think, kind of surprised a little bit. So they're going to have to keep it up, though, because I got some guys graduating. But I definitely think Lincoln was probably better this year than I expected. But, again, we're going a year into the semis, and it's all Metro teams once again, so there's still some ground to make up.
Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Log on, HailVarsity.com. Jacob Scott, your state tournament coverage. Jacob, we'll get to Nebraska basketball and the NCAAs here in a little bit, but what's your reaction to Central and Millard South yesterday?
That was just an unbelievable game. And you look at Kyle Perry from Millard South. He's committed to Nebraska for baseball. He's a pitcher. But the kid is just a heck of a competitor, no matter what sport he's playing. And you can see that with the way he plays out there on the floor, diving after loose balls, going hard to the rack, getting to the free throw line a ton, just going hard. And he just makes so many plays with him. He had 30 points in that game. And then Tyrell Carroll, Omaha North transferred to Millard South for his senior year, and he has had a great year as well. He's going to Emporia State. So those two combined for 56 points for Millard South. And they dug back from down 23-3 at the beginning of the game to come back and win. And Carroll is the one they put the ball in the hands at the end of regulation, and he hit the shot to send it to overtime. And then Perry was kind of the guy that made a lot of plays in that overtime and throughout the game. So I think Nebraska got a really good commit there in Perry. He's fun to watch, and no matter what sport he's playing, like I said, he's going to go out there and compete, and he's going to drive the guys around him as well.
When it comes to in-state prospects and guys that are headed to Lincoln, maybe not for basketball, it's a pretty good showcase this weekend as well, isn't it?
Yep, and unfortunately for the one guy that is headed to Nebraska to play basketball, it's Brady Hyman of Platteview. His career came to an end yesterday in that first round against Gretna, and a big reason for it is a football preferred walk-on commit in Joseph Johnson, who had 20 points in that game. He was just really tearing them up, and Gretna's zone defense really limited Hyman's touches. He only finished with 11 points, 9 boards, and Gretna just made short work of Platteview. So it's kind of a disappointing end for that Platteview senior class, which with Hyman and Nate Thayer's going to Wayne State, and it's just an unbelievable group for that team. Just 4-year varsity guys, 4-year starters, big-time contributors. So it was unfortunate to see it end, but that means Johnson and his Gretna Dragons are still alive. Johnson's a guy that hit the game winner last year in the Class B final to knock off Scottsbluff, and he's back again here now as a senior. So he's one of those guys. And then you got Colton Feast at UTAN. He had a really good game yesterday, double-double. 11 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. It's doing a little bit of everything for the Chieftains. And I saw him play out in Grand Island at the Heartland Hoops Classic. And kid is just big, strong, athletic. He just plays really hard. And he's so important for that UTAN team. And I think he's a great get for Nebraska. Just, again, kind of like Perry, one of those guys is just going to give you everything and drive the other guys around him to be good.
Jacob Padilla's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jacob Padilla _. Jacob, I got to give a shout out to York as their football program, obviously, for real. Basketball program, tremendous as well. And they are able to survive yesterday against Crete, and that was another thriller. What type of complementary skills wow you with these basketball guys that are going to be playing football for Nebraska?
Yeah, and there's so many guys like that they're probably stars on the football field, but they go out for basketball and they're just good role players. And you look at that York team, and that is Simon Odie to a T. He's a football preferred walk-on. He comes off the bench for him. He started at some points, but he comes off the bench for them. He's not a big-time scorer. In fact, he almost hardly ever shoots the ball. But he'll go out and lock up the best player on the other team. He'll rebound. He'll get steals. He'll pass the ball. Just do all the little things good teams need to win. And then Garrett Snodgrass, the 2019 football commit, is their kind of starter on the inside. He's kind of an undersized big, but plays hard. A really good athlete, as we know from the football field. And rebounds, he'll score inside, he'll move the ball as well. So, I mean, you look at that whole York team, and a lot of those guys are 2-3 sport athletes. Most of the team plays football as well. So that school is having a heck of a year athletically.
Jacob, let's switch to the NCAA tournament, and you've covered and done a great job of following Nebraska basketball. Some campaigning, some positive vibes from Coach Miles and Coach Miles' dog this week on social media. I get a kick out of Sammy Miles. You know what? What else are you going to do but put the good word out there of what you've accomplished? What are you forecasting for Sunday with Nebraska basketball and Selection Sunday?
Yeah, just kind of where I've been the whole time is I'm just assuming they're out until I hear otherwise, just based on, obviously, the bracketologists, they aren't actually the committee, so they don't have 100% grasp on what exactly the determining factors are. But they've been doing this a long time, and they have a pretty good feel. They're more educated about it than I am, and a lot of them don't even feel like Nebraska has a chance. I think it's been interesting with this conference tournament week. I think Nebraska has gotten some good results, but at the other side of things, they've also had some teams lose that they needed to win. So I'm not quite sure where they come out in aggregate there, whether they're ahead or behind where they were when their season ended last week. So it's just one of those things where you're just going to have to watch. And fortunately, with the kind of new field reveal, you're going to be able to find out right away whether they're in or not on the selection show. You're not going to have to sit around for an hour before you find out, they didn't pick us. So that's certainly something that you're going to have to keep your eye on. I think they're obviously going to be in the discussion. It's just a matter of how much weight is put on which factors. And we don't know that.
You know, waiting a week has been long enough, right?
Yeah,
at least the selection show will get you the old Band-Aid rip off, or you can keep the Band-Aid on and deal with it. You know, whether Nebraska goes dancing or they go to the NIT, is that going to affect on your outlook on the year, or are you kind of stepping back as an overall view of Nebraska basketball with this season? I mean, how do you – label it? What's going to be your takeaway? And are you a guy that going into this season thought there was a chance Nebraska could put a run together? Because we thought the roster was good. It just needed to come together.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went and go back to my season preview, and I wrote that they've got all the pieces to be able to put a run together here. They were predicted to be 13th in the conference or whatever preseason. But that's mostly by outsiders who had no idea what the roster was even. They had no idea, guys like James Palmer and Isaac Copeland, what they were going to give Nebraska. They just saw how Nebraska finished last year, saw all the guys that left, and assumed, oh, Nebraska can't be good. I mean, we were close to a situation. We saw some of these guys in practice. We saw what they were going to be able to do. So we knew they had a chance to compete this year. So it's not totally out of the blue what they're able to do, but at the same time, you can be disappointed that if they miss it, that you weren't able to get it done. But at the same time, I think this was a building year no matter what, and they're kind of building towards something. If they can run this back next year, obviously they're losing those senior guards, losing OKK, and so you're gonna have to find some guys to kind of fill in some of the holes on the roster. But if you can keep Palmer, you can keep Copeland, you can keep those guys and get Watson kind of back on track next season, you're going to have a really strong chance to make that run. I haven't looked at this. I mean, I don't know what the schedule is going to be like next year. We'll kind of see if the Big Ten gives Nebraska more of a balanced schedule where they have more opportunities than they did this year. And hopefully the other Big Ten teams like Maryland and some of these other teams will kind of get back on track and give Nebraska more opportunities. But I think this year, whether NIT or NCAA, I think this is a really solid year, especially after you consider the last two in the last couple of years and the trajectory the program is heading. This is kind of a 180 from where they were at the end of last season. So it's going to be a good result no matter what. It's just going to be hard to kind of put off that disappointment if they do end up missing it because you felt like you were so close.
They were right there. Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, Mr. Basketball at Jacob Padilla. _ You can follow him on Twitter. His updates throughout the state tournament 2018 down at PBA. You read him on HailVarsity.com with just great coverage in Nebraska basketball, volleyball, and of course football. Jacob, we'll get caught up again, brother. Have a great weekend.
Yep. Talk to you later. Thanks.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jacob Padilla. He's all over state coverage. Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity, also two for Tuesday. We'll play some Zeppelin later. We'll have two Hail Varsity analysts coming up here. You just heard from Jacob and Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey. He's wrapping up at Haymarket. We'll get caught up with him in about 15 to 20 minutes. Ralph Brown, 10-year NFL vet, Husker Hall of Famer, get his take on Seattle, the Rams, and Husker spring football. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So one of the storylines for spring football as it gets going a week from today is going to be the accountability, and you've heard Coach Frost talk about that. Yesterday I probably went off too much on chemistry, but it's a priority, it's important, and it'll be there. Well, to have good chemistry, you need big-time accountability. And I just don't know what type of leadership personalities you have in that locker room. And it's always the question, are leaders born or are they made? Well, you can have, there's no absolute. It's better off if inherently you got a personality with one of your best players that makes everybody else do things his way and at that level. Well, if the guy's kind of a lead by example type player, and you hear that a lot, then he better be really good. And he better be a guy that guys want to play hard for. And you think about some of the past guys that have thrived at Nebraska, and you think of Amir Abdullah as a guy that, God, he came in here, was the forgotten running back, and what'd he do? He outworked everybody. He wasn't the one that transferred, and he ran for a ton of yards, and he's still in the league. Today's athlete, Danny, you can chime in with this since you're a few years younger, but is it easier or harder today to call out a peer? And if there's a breaking point, it should make it easier. Not worried about stepping on toes, not worried about hurting feelings, not worried about, you want to win and get results. Brian Christopherson did a good story today on Mick Stoltenberg. And Mick's a guy that's going to be leaned on, and he's a senior. And he opened up a little bit about what's going on here. And he was asked, when Zach Duvall and Frost came in, he and some of the other upperclassmen, to put my own little spin on it, what the hell was going on here? Tell us what's going on. What did you observe? We're not asking you to rat anybody out or point any fingers. Just tell us what you saw. And here's what I see with Mick, okay? I see a guy that is team first all the way. Why? Because he played nose guard. He moved inside to try and do what's best for the team. So you got a selfless dude that's going to bust it in the weight room, that's really talented, but he's also a guy that can't do it alone and was probably playing a little bit out of position. Now, if it's still the 3-4, great, but you can modify it a little bit, I would think. And I wonder if Mick's mood and mindset has changed a bit. He's still happy to be here, but is that going to shift? And I mean that for the better. Instead of just happy to be here, hey, happy to be the play-in game to get into the tournament, it's time to do something with your time. And you get that urgency with being a senior, your last spring. And I mean, think of the transition Mick's been through on the defensive line with coaching staffs. And now, all right, is this defense going to be better than last year? Well, it better be, right? That's the response from Nebraska fans. I look at Mick Stoltenberg, and can he turn into a guy that he's already a guy that people respect, He is talented. He's Drago crazy strong. But is he a guy that can turn into a badass? I've laid out some elements, some talking points that make him that. But is he a dude on the line that's going to be nasty and mean? Not in an unsportsmanlike way, but just take on an edge in that personality. That is something you got to have on the lines of scrimmage. Not out of control, but you got to have an edge. You got to be able to go to a dark place, as they say. And that goes along with accountability. If Mick's going to be the guy, and there were some things that bothered him last year that he shared with because he was asked with the strength staff, with the coaching staff, then he needs to be able to be a guy that polices that. And again, back to the Unity Council thing we talked about yesterday, you're not just going to hand the keys over to the Ferrari. You got to pass the driver's test to work on the 10-2 for Nebraska with this staff, which is good. So is Mick Stoltenberg a guy that can take that next step and not just talk about accountability? And Mick's a guy that totally fits this staff. More action, less words is going to be my motto, because that's this staff's motto. You know, shut up and let's do something about it versus what you had the last 3 years. And that's a lot of the fluff and the hype and the pub. Are you going to have seniors that are within that accountability discussion we're talking about put a stop to it? Well, you're going to have less given an inch, taken a mile situations because you're not going to have a staff that allows it. So there's going to be some this BS isn't going on any longer anymore. And I asked you, Danny, earlier, from a peer group, say you're on a group project. Are you able to walk up to a guy that's been ditching out on the group sit-downs, but wants his name on the paper you're all turning in? To me, Danny, you seem like the type of guy that would call BS on that.
Yeah, and I think it all stems
about how it's about how you say it as much as what you say.
Right, and I think it all stems from who's on top of you. Like how you mentioned, if it's with the Riley culture, that kind of era, it's like, oh, everyone has that mentality where it's like, if we don't do this, you know, it's not going to be the worst thing.
What's he going to do?
Right.
He's not even around.
Exactly.
And it's an absentee landlord.
And now with the Scott Frost era, if you see that coaching staff taking initiative, being so tough, and then someone calls you out, you have to respect it. That's going to be the culture, and that's how it's going to change. So I think it's possible, and I think it will happen.
No, it's good. But, I mean, this is a storyline, spring and fall, about accountability. But there had to have been a breaking point last year where you're just sick of seeing it.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We're going to talk to Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, coming up. He has a nickname. It's Dr. Petey. Vogel's nickname is Vogues. And I have deemed Jacob Padilla Mr. Basketball. We're going to check in with Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson of Hail Varsity, to see if he thinks Mr. Basketball is an okay nickname for Jacob. Danny, did you have a nickname growing up?
Everyone just calls me D. Burke since like sixth grade. Nobody
D. Burke?
Yeah, D. Burke, like first initial, then my last name.
No, I can do the math on that.
But yeah, everyone's called me that since about sixth grade. Everyone at home does. And then when I came here, a couple of my friends from high school also went here, so it kind of carried on.
Okay.
So the only people who call me like Danny are like you, other adult figures, like my parents, my sister, and that's about
it. The old people.
Yeah. What about you? Did you have one?
I can't repeat it on air.
All right. Fair enough. I'm trying to think of what it might be in my head right now.
Oh, you can't think of it?
Okay, I could. Yeah, I think I can. Yeah, all right,
said
all
the
right.
Schmidt house, Rudolph. Yeah, no, actually, that didn't. I don't know. Wheezy? Yeah, the asthma card.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it was loving by the kids. We're gonna get into this with Derek too, and you join in, D-Burke. Are there gonna be like three or four teams that you're gonna be disappointed Sunday that Nebraska doesn't get in, possibly, but you're gonna be more mad that this team got in over you? What team is that? If you could pick one team that gets the jump on Nebraska, you'll lose it.
It's either going to be, well, because you mentioned it, I don't think they will get in, but it would be Notre Dame, but I don't think
you
they
just,
will
Are you
in.
One of those guys that grew up near?
No, I actually, like, I was a Notre Dame fan my whole life, like, until I came to Nebraska. My
smart.
Grandpa, yeah. My dad, yeah. So I just don't think they're a good team this year with their injuries and whatnot. But besides Notre Dame, it's going to be Oklahoma. It really is. Just like everyone else, I think that's going to be the team that's going to piss you off the most.
Okay. See, if Oklahoma, Oklahoma's gonna get in. I think they get in. They have Trey Young. They get in. They have a lot of great wins. They've been awful. I'm not saying they'll turn it around. Dean Blevins wants to dynamite the entire place. I'm being over dramatic. And I don't know. Nebraska's a way better team than Oklahoma.
Yeah,
they just are. But Oklahoma's. I think Oklahoma's in. I think Oklahoma's one of those 28 teams that Andy Katz talked about. I think, you look at the trio from the ACC, NC State, Virginia Tech, they're in, which I have no problem with.
Mm-hmm.
I think Syracuse probably would edge because they have a good history
right.
of putting a run together when they're brutal. They'll get in over UCLA.
Yeah. For sure.
What happens with the Pac-12? Can you just take one? Can you just take Arizona from the Pac-12?
That would just be saying, like, could you take one from the Big Ten?
Well, but the Big Ten at least has three heavyweights,
right, well, this year, but yeah.
No, I mean, the Pac-12, they got three in.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll talk to Derek Peterson. HailVarsity.com and magazine and Dr. PD15. We tried to talk to him last Friday. Denied. That hurt. Also, Ralph Brown next hour. His thoughts on some NFL movement and spring football. Hail Varsity continues hour two on the way with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And you, Ralph Brown, Husker Hall of Famer and 10-year NFL vet. Get his thoughts on the wild Friday, the wild week in the NFL, spring football around the corner, as we are efforting Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson. Okay, do you have an update? Danny, and you got chocolate all over your face.
That cookie was really good.
It was good.
I devoured it right away.
Kalen brought cookies back from the front desk, and they're big and warm, and it's awesome.
But I think Derek's dodging us. I think he's salty that we couldn't get him on from last week.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to bat signal him or not. Now, listen, he's good at radio.
Yeah.
Great at writing. We'll just have to figure them out. All right. Well, if you don't want to miss Derek, stay tuned. Stay hungry, as he'll be there. We spent some time in hour one discussing Nebraska, the bubble, the NCAA tournament. Andy Katz and his research and info with the NCAA. The 28 spots filled, 8 spots to go. Where's Nebraska sit there? We'll talk with Derek Peterson about that. Get some spring ball thoughts from him as well, and run down some Husker baseball. We'll see where he's at. Ralph Brown on the way, and then Friday forecast. Interested to see where the Friday forecast takes us. Do we have a 5-0 week end for me? Do we have a 1-4 weekend for me? or does Danny clean up back-to-back weeks? So we spent a little bit of time, and I kind of like this, says Eric Haslam. He's a hoops analytics guy, Haslametrics.com. is out with the who should be in list, and see if you agree with this. And I think this is more math-based than, hey, let's pander to some fan bases. The bracketology that deserves to be in as of today, the last four byes, Providence, St. Mary's, Nebraska, Alabama, last four in, Texas, Arizona State, Florida State, Georgia. First four out, Mississippi State, Baylor, Penn State, Oklahoma State, the next four out, Marquette, SC, Louisville, and Syracuse. All right. I don't hate on that at all. Here's what you're watching for tonight, though. Okay, because you've got some action. You have some teams trying to keep rolling. I think Alabama's maybe played their way in. Totally fair to say. With their wins, Kentucky down Georgia, Xavier and Providence. Providence dinged Creighton yesterday. You needed Creighton to win that. Xavier's a three seed. Providence could solidify their spot in the dance if they beat Xavier. Temple's not really a threat, but Temple's a team that, why give them any breathing room if you're Wichita State? And then there's Mississippi State that Nebraska beat in the exhibition game. You don't need Mississippi State winning. I don't know what to tell you about Central Florida and Houston. No clue. I think Houston's in, so I don't think it matters. I know Central Florida's a common opponent or a team you played, but you don't want them sneaking up and getting another bid from the AAC. Carolina Duke, that'll be good. Florida could be pretty tasty in the tournament. And UCLA and Arizona are set to hook up tonight. I think you'll want Arizona to win by about 50. You want Villanova to win by about 50 over Butler. You want Nevada to drill San Diego State. And then there's the Pac-12 with Oregon and SC. Cheer for our old buddy Dana and see if they get it handled. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Hey, we'll reset it. He's probably doing post-game for baseball. That's where we're at. So we asked you earlier before the hour wound down with selection Sunday looming, where are you at as a Nebraska basketball fan in reference to teams you'd be upset that edged Nebraska out? There are some teams you can look in the mirror and say, okay, they're either better or more deserving. But what team right now do you think is the least deserving to get in? And you got a list we put together. And as much as recency tells me Oklahoma is one of those least deserving teams to get in, I think the full scope of what they are says yes, they get in. They belong in. No matter how awful they've played, they're just not playing well. We bring in Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, with us on Hail Varsity Radio at Dr. Petey 15. Derek, brother, how are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. You had technical issues last week. I had technical issues this week.
Payback.
I guess that's how it works.
Is what it's called. Seriously?
I guess that's how it works.
I'm sorry. Did you? You were at baseball, though. You were just at baseball, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at baseball. My phone had it sitting out, and it just wasn't bringing through calls. And then all of a sudden, I got a notification that popped up. You got four missed calls. And I was like, yeah, none of them rang. So thank you, phone.
No, it's okay.
I'll get a new phone in a few weeks.
That's all right. That's okay. Quick hit on baseball. What did you think today?
Good showing.
Yeah.
Alvarado was throwing some heat. He looked really good. 4-0 shutout win. Come back tomorrow. They needed it.
Yeah.
Needed a strong showing out of one pitcher after what happened yesterday. So
no,
it was good.
I hear you. And we're kind of getting things cranked up. We've been talking bubble and Nebraska, Derek, and I want your thoughts here. who are Nebraska's peer group right now? If you were to give me a few teams, where's Nebraska at with X, Y, and Z? Tell me some teams you think Nebraska's competing with. And this is our baseline here. This is the reference from Brandon's hot reads this morning with Andy Katz. 28 spots are filled. There's 8 left. There's a list of teams he provided. Nebraska, one of those in contention. Who's Nebraska competing with, in your opinion, for a spot?
Too many teams.
No, I get that, but are there some like candidates that kind of come to mind?
Penn State is in there, even though they beat Penn State at the end of the season. I think for whatever reason, I think Oklahoma State is still on the bubble after not beating Kansas. I think they're still
alive, too.
Yeah. I honestly think that they could end up taking it. Like, if they got in, because I keep seeing the, you know, the Tulsa reference from last year, the UCLA thing from 2015 being one of those curveballs that the committee throws out. If they get in, I could see them taking, like, Oklahoma's spot. Syracuse is another team. Let's see. Baylor is probably another team that's on the bubble. I mean, did you see what Alabama did to Auburn this afternoon?
I knew they were down 10, and I saw the final score in... That kind of speaks for itself. I did not watch, but Bama...
It was a 20-1 Bama run.
To start the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an avalanche.
Bama's...
And Colin Sexton was really good.
He's fun. I think Sexton's going to get Bama in, much like Trey Young's going to get Oklahoma in. You want to see him.
Yeah.
Bama has beaten Rhode Island and A&M and Auburn and Tennessee and Oklahoma, and they won by 20 at Florida. I think Bama's in. I think Bama's in.
Yep.
I think Oklahoma will edge out Arizona State and get in. Do you agree with that?
If I had to pick between those two, yeah, I would say Oklahoma because of Trae Young. I think if Oklahoma gets in, it's because they have Trae Young.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's
a serious reason why that they would stay in. I think if they didn't have a kid that can pop off from 35 feet away, that they're not getting in just based on the way that they've closed the season.
No, I think you're right. You're right on there. I think, do you think Oklahoma can snap out of it, or do you think they're just one more game away from the season officially ending?
I think they're one more game away. I was listening to your interview with Barry Trammell yesterday, and I thought he was spot on. I thought one of the issues with their season was Trey got handed the keys so early. It's not really something that Lon has done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really messed up. Not from a chemistry standpoint. I don't think guys were thinking like, oh, well, this guy came in and didn't have to work for anything. I think it was more they just got used to Trey being able to do Trey things and get them out of scoring funks and put them on runs, and they started standing around. And I think, as you've seen later in the season, that the standing around sucks on offense because their offense looks bad, and when their offense has started to go south, it's bled into their defense and their effort. And I think, like what Barry said yesterday, the chemistry issues are very much a real thing with them. So I think they're one game away from having the season end.
You tell me what happens Sunday by 5:15 on Nebraska, in or out?
Oh, goodness. I want them to be in.
We all want them to be in.
And that's not a rooting interest. I think this is a team that can do damage in a tournament. I think they could win a game. I think they could be competitive in a second game, maybe win a second game. But they're out, man.
But I'd love to see them in Dayton against Oklahoma for a play-in.
That would be fun. Even NIT action in Lincoln, OU, Nebraska would be fun.
Everybody'd want to show up except the two teams.
Yeah. Nebraska would want to show up, I bet.
No, I don't. If they don't get to the tourney, that'll be a monster letdown. Derek, want to switch gears, talk some football with you. A week from today, spring ball gets rolling, and it's pretty common to talk a lot about accountability, but do you think there's a couple of guys on the team this year that are so up, you know, your mom or dad at some point gave me the I've had it up to here lecture, right, if I'm hacking them off. I think there's a point that has boiled over with this team and some of the guys that are upperclassmen on this team where they're disgusted. I mean, you hear the accountability storyline all the time in spring and fall, but do you think it becomes a reality this spring where there is no BS absolutely. Allowed anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And everything that, you know, some of the outlets have been getting access to some of the players and the things that we're hearing is that guys are holding each other accountable more than they have in the past. I'll throw out two names on defense that I think are going to be emotional, vocal leaders. I think Mo Berry is a guy that's going to be pretty loud and pretty vocal and a guy that's going to keep people accountable. And I also think one who's not, he's not an upperclassman, but just based on body language late in the season last year, based on the way that he kind of took to the clothes that they had, Ben Stilley. I think Ben Stilley is going to be a guy that's going to push everybody to be better and push everybody because, I mean, late last season, it just felt like he wasn't having fun. Felt like he was pissed at the way that they were closing, for lack of a better word, and I don't think he wants to feel that way again. I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes one of their emotional leaders, similar to the way that Luke Gifford was for that defense last year.
Do you have
Joe Foster on offense?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite in the quarterback race?
Tristan Jebbia looks bigger.
Does
have
he?
Seen
I have not
the
seen
pictures
him.
That have been floating out?
No.
He looks bigger. He looks like he's added some bulk. He looks taller. I was talking to Greg Smith, our recruiting guy. And he was telling me that he's heard that Jebbia is up at 6'4", close to 195. If that's the case, that's your starter right there. He's a guy.
Can you?
Because the only knock on him was his size.
Can you confirm this, Danny? Have you been lifting with him?
No, I heard that too a couple of days ago. Someone was telling me that he's like 6'4" now.
The old David Robinson trick where you go where you grow 4 inches in college.
That's right. I'm still waiting for that to happen to me, too.
So am I.
I'm still waiting for that to happen to me, too, and I'm a year removed from college.
We're the itty-bitty committee, like the old Nebraska wideouts, right? 5'9" and under. Derek Peterson's with us, Dr. Petey, 15 on Twitter. Okay, so to close this out, I've handed out a nickname to Jacob Padilla. It's Mr. Basketball. Okay. You're Dr. Petey. Greg will punch me next time he sees me, but I like calling him Gregers. He hates it. And then there's Babbers for Mike Babcock, and Vogues for Brandon Vogel. Do you approve the Mr. Basketball reference?
Yeah, definitely for Jacob. Can I give you a different one for Greg?
Sure.
Coin cop.
What?
Corn cob. Just call him corn cob. Well, you'll know what it means.
I need the back. Come on, dude. I need the back. I got 20 seconds here. I need the backstory.
He's driving the bus on this metallic helmet with an angry-looking Nebraska corn cob.
Don't ever touch the helmets again.
He's driving the bus.
Don't ever touch the helmets again. Period.
You don't want to see them do something like what Oklahoma State has done with the oversized logo with maybe a one-eyed Herbie on the side?
No, just leave Herbie alone.
Oh, man.
Just leave
You're
it.
You're a traditionalist.
I'm old. Leave it the way it's always been, the red block in with the white helmet. Good night now.
No, I want the bright. Just I want the bright neon shoes.
Mix it up with
the shiny jerseys.
Mix it up with the ice shoes. I like it. Derek, we'll see you down. I'm going to commandeer you to come watch some basketball with us at Longwell's next Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right,
I'll bring my frost emoji cleats.
Do it. Do so. Derek Peterson at Dr. PD15 on Twitter with Hail Varsity. Have a good weekend, man. Thanks so much.
You too. Sorry for the delay, sir.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, NFL vet, 10 years, Hall of Fame, Nebraska black shirt, national champion, two-time Super Bowl participant. It's getting close to draft time. We welcome in Ralph Brown with us at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, how are you, sir?
I'm tremendous. Thanks for having me on again.
Man, it's good to talk to you. Now it is state tournament time. You remember that well from being in Lincoln this time of year, the Boys and Girls State Tournament boys this weekend. Ralph, did you hoop in high school?
No, I didn't. I just hooped with my friends on the side. I never played basketball from a team aspect. I just hooped with my cousin. My cousin went to Utah State, and my dad loved basketball as well, but I never played it, you know, in an organized manner.
Didn't want to embarrass anybody?
No, I was decent. I didn't love basketball that much. I love baseball, track, and football.
All right. I was hoping for some sort of MJ Kobe type story from Ralph in the Cali State tournament, but I'll have to imagine it white men can't jump style with the wind swaying and you hitting a three and telling somebody it's so pretty. Ralph Brown is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, we'll get into some NFL news and notes, but I wanted to kind of get your thoughts. You've seen the results, and you know how Chris Jones and Kalu performed. Pro Day is coming up next week. Wanted to get your reaction first on Chris Jones. What stuck out to you about how he performed, and what do you kind of project for him?
Well, I really like Chris Jones. The only thing is, his 40 wasn't, you know, it was a little slower in the, you know, he ran a 4.57. If he can kind of get that down lower to the 4.5, you know, 4.4 probably would be hard. You know, I like his fluidity. I like how he catches the ball. And he's a nice-sized cornerback. So I think whoever kind of drafts him or picks him up will have a great corner, somebody who's hungry, somebody who's basically fearless. And I think this year, because he came off the injury, it's usually a second year when you come off those types of injuries is when you improve, when you get better. So I expect him to fare well when he gets to the league.
No, and is there a defense that he may fit in the NFL? You have, you know, the Tampa 2, you have what Baltimore runs, you have what Wade Phillips likes to do. Is there a fit for some of the skill sets you see with Jones?
Well, from what I've seen from him, he can play both. He can play zone, he can play quarters, he can play man-to-man, and that's what you need. A lot of cornerbacks coming out of college into the NFL are basically one-trick ponies. They're usually all man-to-man or they're all zone. So when you watch Chris Jones, you can tell he's very fluid. He can get in and out of his breaks very quickly. He gets the ball at its highest point. He can run. I think his field speed is much faster than what his 40, you know, has shown. But I think Chris Jones is one of those guys that can play and basically adjust to any type of defense, playing man and adjusting to zone as well. That's what I really liked about him.
How about Kalu? And Kalu is kind of the guy circled with the most upside defensively for Nebraska. McShay told us that last week, and being able to play safety and corner, and he was in that peso defense for Bo, so that hybrid spot as well. What's kind of your takeaway from what he did in Indy and kind of projecting his fit in the league?
Well, I think his upside is huge. That hybrid type of player, I really think that kind of fits more with the Patriots. When you got the Chungs, you got the McCourties, those type of guys that can play nickel, they can play safety, they can go outside and play corner as well. Those are the type of players that the Patriots like. He can be a sneak and a sleeper to the Patriots because that's the type of player he is. He's a great tackler out in open space. He's a smart player with the game of football, and he loves the game. So that's good that the scouts tested him out at corner and basically has a safety as well. So you have to look at teams like Philadelphia. You have to look at teams like the Patriots. Those are the teams that like to carry those hybrid type of players that can play multiple positions. And if somebody goes down, move them inside, move them back to the safety spot, or move them out to the corner if they need help that week.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Some thoughts on a couple of Nebraska defensive players and their pro day around the corner at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, it's been pretty nuts with the NFL. Your reaction to Seattle, is this the right move for the Seahawks? Michael Bennett, see ya. Richard Sherman being cut. What do you think Seattle does moving forward? Are they gonna be a contender ever again?
Well, it's going to be tough, and this is one of the years where they're going to have to basically try and rebuild. You look at the Rams are doing a lot of good things. The Niners are doing good things as well, but they had to offload Bennett and Sherman with their salary cap hit that they were going to take this year. And a lot of people talk about how it was all politics. You look at Baldwin talk politics. Pete Carroll's big on politics as well. So in my case, I don't think this is basically a politics issue. I think these guys are kind of at the twilight of their careers, and you offload guys around this time so you can bring in some new, more athletic guys, develop them, and try and get back to prominence in Seattle. So, they're probably going to finish third, in my opinion, in the West next season behind the Niners, and the Rams, in my opinion, will be first.
Does Sherman come back from his Achilles?
I think he does. I think he does, and he's a somebody who loves the game of football. He'll come back. Somebody will pick him up. There's teams that need cornerbacks out there, and he'll be on the field next season with who? Who knows, but he'll be on the field.
How about the Rams? You mentioned the Rams, and to me, this is just they're doubling down. They see how, despite losing Wentz, Philly was able, with the offense and their defensive setup, to just be incredible in the NFC. The Rams, with McVay, I know you're a huge McVay guy. I'm a big Zach Taylor guy, and he is smiling about what they got with Gurley. And with what they got with McVay and Goff, man. I mean, Goff had a great year last year. But now you got crazy Wade Phillips and his defense that's awesome. And they go out and not only go get Marcus Peters, but now Tlaib. And then you have Aaron Donald and you have LaMarcus Joyner. I know Ogletree just got dealt. But, man, the story was L.A.'s offense last year. Tell me about this defense. How good can the Rams be? What do you project for them moving forward?
Well, you can see what they're trying to do. They're trying to get to the Super Bowl. They're trying to make a playoff run next season, and they know they have to compete with the 49ers, who are making some big moves with their quarterbacks and bringing in some players. Marcus Lee got signed to an extension with the Niners, so the Rams have to keep up with the 49ers. They have to try and make a run in the playoffs this year and try to get to the Super Bowl. It's smart what they did. You have Wade Phillips. You have Aqib Tlaib, who already knows that type, his system. You bring in Marcus Peters. The Legion of Boom lost Richard Sherman, so they're going to be the dominant secondary in the NFC West. And you have Sam Shields, who was a former Pro Bowler in 2014 as well. So that secondary is going to be shored up. They shored up their offensive line last year. But this defense, with what they're doing, the guys that they have, it can be one of the top in all of football next season.
Let's talk quarterbacks. What happens with Cousins? Do you pay him? What kind of floated out there earlier this week with what he could get? 3 years, guaranteed $91 million. Where do you sit on Cousins? Are you Team Cousins? Do you think he's okay? Are you not impressed? What's your opinion of him?
I love Kirk Cousins. I mean, you can't always get an elite quarterback in terms of Tom Brady and these top guys that are out there throwing the sling and the ball around. But I think Kirk Cousins is a little bit better than average. And if you can get that in the NFL, you got to pay top dollar, and you got to keep that type of quarterback. He's proven himself. The Washington Redskins really, for some reason, I don't know why, they don't like the guy. They keep making him try and prove himself, and he's proved everyone wrong each year that he belongs in the NFL and that he can sling the football around, make the big throws down the field. And for me, I think he'd be a great fit in Denver with that offense, what they have over there with John Elway, and just moving those wide receivers down the football field with his arm.
Yeah, Denver's got a lot of options on offense. I don't know if he'll end up there. If you're Philadelphia, do you move Foles at all? Do you consider that?
No, you never do that because you don't know if Carson Wentz is injury prone. So you basically make sure you have an insurance policy with Nick Foles this season, because Wentz may go down again. And you know for sure you have Nick Foles. And when you deal with these mobile quarterbacks, like Wentz and some of these other guys in the NFL that run a lot, they're prone to get injured because they're out of the pocket. They're running a lot. You look at Cam Newton, he gets injured. So I think Nick Foles is a great insurance policy. You hold him for one more season, and you see what type of player that Carson Wentz is, because if he gets injured again, now you know you have Nick Foles who can come in, and he may end up being the quarterback if Carson Wentz is an injury-prone type player.
Ralph Brown, a 10-year NFL vet, Husker Hall of Famer, national champion, Hail Varsity Radio, and Ralph D. Brown. If you're Minnesota, I mean, you've let Keenum go, Bradford's gonzo. Do you look to draft the quarterback, knowing that you're going to have to pay that defense, that core group in a year or two? What do you do if you're the Vikings? Because, I mean, you were really good despite your offensive inconsistency last year.
Well, I really like what they have with Case Keenum. You get Cook back at the running back spot. They're deep you know, the Vikings offense. I like what they did, and they should be hungry coming back off of last year's season. Everybody knows Case Keenum. You bring him back as your starter. The wide receivers with Thielen's great. You got Latavius Murray. Cook will be back. So I think that offense is good. Their defense, top defense in the league. So I think you try and bring as many people as you can back on every team if you're a really good team, so then you can keep that continuity, that gel, and keep those same faces in the locker room.
Ralph, a week from today, it's spring football. Nebraska gets rolling before a spring break hiatus. What are you looking forward to most this spring for Nebraska?
I'm just looking forward to a different energy, a different focus, people focusing on championships, people focus on getting better, and just having a new aura of energy in that stadium and with the fan base supporting the spring game, supporting Scott Frost and his staff, and the excitement being back at Nebraska. That's something that's exciting. The first time a spring game has been sold out. So it just shows you the type of fan base that Nebraska has, the excitement that's already in the state of Nebraska. And I know everyone can't wait for a week from now, and neither can I.
45 seconds. What's the weirdest question you got asked at the combine?
The weirdest question was, am I afraid of deep waters? They didn't ask me anything too crazy. But yeah, one of the scouts asked me if I'm afraid of deep waters. I told the guy no. At the time I was like, I'm not afraid of anything. And you know, there probably was things I was afraid with, but I was like, what do you mean, am I afraid of deep water? So I told the guy no. And it's just weird stuff, but some of these scouts, man, they pry a little bit too much, and I think sometimes they cross the line with some of the questions they ask some of the players.
Well, absolutely, and I wasn't trying to go there if you got something that was disrespectful, but sometimes they ask you crazy stuff, so I was wondering about that. But good stuff. It's Ralph Brown, Husker Hall of Famer, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, we'll get caught up again, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, always fun. Thank you.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding through a Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. Hope you're well. Get you ready for the Friday forecast here in a moment. There's plenty of basketball. Don't forget this weekend, the selection show at 5 o'clock here. Many of your Hail Varsity affiliates will have that. If you're with ESPN Lincoln here in town, we'll have that for you at 5 o'clock. The Friday forecast is presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and the Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem gambling, call the statewide help line today, 1-800-522-4700. Danny, a lot of hoops to get through.
Yes, there are a lot of good games going on tonight, and let's start right after the show ends. We got Clemson and Virginia, number 18 Clemson, going up against the number one ranked team of the country, Virginia. Virginia, an 8-point favorite.
You know what? I think Virginia is going to win this. I'm not sure if Clemson split with them earlier or not this year. I think one of the games was close.
No, they played one game. Virginia smacked them 61-36.
Oh, it was one of those.
Yeah.
So they have an unbalanced schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that Virginia wins by that much. Clemson's safe. I think Virginia wins. I think Virginia wins and they cover. Give me 70-60, Virginia the win, the cover.
Yeah, I definitely think Virginia's winning this game. Clemson, they've just not been playing that well toward the end of the stretch, and Virginia is slowly looking like they're getting back into their form. They got a little bit of a bump toward the end. I'm going to go Virginia 68 to 58. That's what
10
I'm
point.
Go.
Yeah, yeah, 10 it'll be right on that number, and they'll figure it out. Virginia's really kind of flipped it around since they lost at home to Virginia Tech.
Right, yeah.
North Carolina and Duke, that is good stuff tonight. -4, Duke. Duke always wins the ACC tournament games against Carolina.
Yep, and like we talked about earlier this week, they always split. First game at North Carolina, the Tar Heels won 82-78. Then Duke won at home 74-64.
Give me a 10-point win for Duke, 81-71.
Ooh, that's a big lead. Okay, I'm all in on Duke. I don't know about a 10-point lead, though. I'm gonna take Duke. They're gonna cover. I'm gonna go Duke 82, 76 over North Carolina.
All right, next one.
All right, next one, we got Texas Tech and West Virginia. Texas Tech is a 2.5-point favorite. Earlier this year at Texas Tech, West Virginia fell by 1 point, 72-71, and then at West Virginia, they won 84-74.
Very even, very balanced. This is neutral. It's in Kansas City. It's in Boulevard Land. I think West Virginia can find a way. I would have leaned Tech if they'd found a way to beat Kansas at home last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't. I think Tech is okay, but I think West Virginia, they are built for tournament run. They are a tough matchup. I think they win the rubber match here. I think that number's about right. It'll be close, but give me West Virginia 69-65, the win and cover for the Mountaineers.
Okay, see, I was really close with you on that. I had 68-64 for the Mountaineers. I can't think of the guy's name, but I really like their point guard. That dude just does not give up ever. I love their defense. They play that full court press a lot. And, yeah, their point guard's a stud. The dude's just never running out of energy. So, yeah, 68-64 Mountaineers.
Do you know what Huggy Bear does to his kids if they break curfew?
Don't they do that, like, I know they do that one running drill on the treadmills that are insane, like 30-second or maybe a minute long.
No, it's 45 seconds.
Okay.
But it's at the highest.
Right.
It's like at a 45-degree angle, and they crank the thing up to, like, 8 out of 10.
Isn't that what you do, though, when you go work out?
I just walk by the treadmill, and I go swim.
There you go.
But, no, it's, brother, the old treadmill where you got to hold on and sprint. Imagine putting Huggy Bear on there. He'd die.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, coach, let's see you do it first.
No. Huggy's heart doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not going to fly there.
UCLA in Arizona. This, what do you think of this? Is this number just too tiny?
I don't know. It's something about just being in the tournament is what these numbers, it could go either way. But now that Arizona's kind of got their mojo back, I like them with this 6-point spread.
I'm all over that. I think Arizona drills UCLA. I think it's like going to be one of those 88-68 type ball games. Give me Arizona and the easy cover.
Okay. Earlier in the season, UCLA did win at Arizona, 82-74.
It's one of their. That's the one win. That's why they're even.
Right.
That's why they're even being talked about as between an 11 and 9 seed.
So Arizona's coming back with vengeance for that too. I'm gonna go Arizona 85, UCLA 74.
Okay, so we're both covering.
Yeah. Okay, and then we got Oregon and USC. USC, a 2.5-point favorite tonight at 10:30, the late game. Who you like here?
Give me the history here. Oregon and SC did what?
Okay, USC won at Oregon 75-70, and then at USC they also won 72-70. Trojans have won both times.
I think Oregon and Dana win this. I think Oregon makes a late push to get into the considered group.
Hmm.
They've had to reload since last year's Final Four team. I like Oregon to win. I think it's too tough to beat a team three times. Give me Oregon the outright win and the upset, 74-70.
Okay, so this is where we're going to disagree here. I'm going to have to take the Trojans on this one. I like that 2.5-point spread. It is going to be a close game. I think until the end, I think USC is going to pull away, and I'm going to stick in the 70s range because that's where the past games have been. I'm going to go USC 77-74 over Oregon.
All right.
Just covering the spread.
Do you have a number? Do you want to set the line, Danny?
For this Alabama-Kentucky
game? For
Alabama-Kentucky.
What time's that thing tip off?
I didn't get the exact time. I think it's going to be sometime earlier in the day, I think. Let's see.
Probably noonish.
Yeah.
Nooner.
Right. Yep, at noon. So
I'm watching that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. I just don't think...
I'm going to go over to Pharmacist Jeff's house. He's a Kentucky fan.
Okay.
I'm going to drink Pharmacist Jeff's bourbon, and I'm going to watch his Wildcats. He likes Kentucky.
Ooh.
And I'm going to cheer for Bama. I'm going to show up in a Roll Tide scarf.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I love Sexton. I like Alabama's run here, and I don't like Kentucky. I really don't, but I think Alabama's run ends tomorrow.
I totally buy it.
Yeah.
I'm there with you. That's boring. I'm sorry about that, but that is what happens, my friend.
Okay.
You just beat the Auburn Tigers. You won on a last second yesterday.
Yeah, you escaped on that one. The big guy could have swatted. He was afraid of goaltending on that play, though.
I like Bama to get put down tomorrow Kentucky.
But you got to root
last
for
time
him.
Last time I took Kentucky, man, they got smoked.
I know,
in Florida.
Yeah, and I bet against them because they've screwed me. So I think I'm going to put the line just coming off the top of my head.
I think
right
you're 3.5, don't you?
I was going to say 5.
5, okay. Is Kentucky's 2-0 against them, aren't they?
Kentucky beat them 81-71 in the season is what I got to see really quick.
Okay.
So.
All right. That works. There's your Friday forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and the Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. We'll wind down a Friday next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time on a Friday. You missed the show. You missed past shows. You're welcome to get the podcast. It's free. HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Select portions, excerpts. On ESPNLincoln.com. Good stuff from Coach Smith yesterday. That's something you want to listen to. Stuff from Nicole Arback this week. Also available and can take us with the ESPN Lincoln app. So, Danny, we've got our Friday forecast circled. Nebraska will be absent from the list. They'll be asked about, and Rasmussen will go. Just didn't have enough quality wins. Other teams more deserving. You'll rewind this Monday and make me eat crow, and I'll happily do it. But Nebraska is going to be watching and sad on Sunday, but a great season.
Unfortunately, yes. Toward the beginning of this week, I was getting my hopes up just a little bit.
See, my hopes shifted from they're out Monday to at least, hey, they're being considered.
Right.
But I think Bama's played their way in.
Yep.
Maybe if they get drilled by like 40 tomorrow, maybe that'll hurt.
But, yeah, no. So
you want, as bad as the NCAA's looked with this scandal, you want Young and you want the point guard from Alabama.
Sexton.
Colin. You want Colin in there. You want both those guys in there.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, and like I was saying, with Miles, I don't know, when he was posting stuff, you're like, maybe they know something, but I was just seeing the post he had today, I was like, now it's just too much. Like, now he just looks like he's trying so much to make them think it, I don't think it's happening.
The truth is he thinks they feel like they need some major league help.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to put the word out. You got to start talking about it, because the only thing being talked about now is that you're not in.
Right. He's thinking if you say it enough, they'll believe it.
Right. Absolutely. Right. It's Costanza here. It's not a lie if you believe it. Mm-hmm. All right. What's on the agenda tonight? You're not doing homework tonight.
No, tonight.
Are you doing the Rail Olympics?
I guess it depends. I don't know. I'm calling the baseball game tomorrow, so I don't know if I'm going to be going.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be going to.
Are you
going to
wear a parka?
Nah, probably not.
It's going to be nice tomorrow.
Yeah.
Actually.
But, yeah, so it should be – hopefully they could keep a win streak going here.
Who's your baseball guy? Who did you love listening to growing up?
I loved listening to Ron Santo.
Sure. I thought so.
Yeah, Pat Hughes on the radio. It's always fun. So, yeah, those were my guys.
Did you ever just YouTube Harry Carey?
Yeah, I do all the time because, unfortunately, I didn't get to listen to him. So, I got to YouTube him. And, yeah, my dad will tell me stories about him all the time. My grandpa, too.
Met him in the can.
Really?
Not the can like I'm doing 10 to 20. In his own restroom at Harry Carey's bar.
Really? Do you spark up a conversation?
Well, I waited till he was done, but he signed something for me, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
Good stuff.
He was good.
Yeah.
I tried to get my little brother an autograph, and Harry just kind of said, one at a time, Sonny.
He's like, let me wash my hands first.
No, I didn't do that. I wasn't that. Come on now. I didn't pull that. Now, the problem is it wasn't on a baseball or it wasn't on a Cubs hat. Wasn't on my Sandberg jersey. It was on like a Hyatt Regency hotel notepad you swipe from, you know, the right by your phone in the hotel.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know where it's at.
You don't know where it's at?
It's somewhere. Geez. I think my mom has a lot of my autographs, but...
No.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Sunday. Pull hard for the Big Red. We'll talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity.